in HD2. Come on in, we've been expecting you. Catch the wave.
Good morning to you, everybody, huh? Oh, yeah, it's Monday morning, huh? Yeah, we're still going to have some more church. Want to welcome you to Beat the Arch. And many of you know this program is designed for those of you who've been abused, you've been hurt, huh? And those of you looking for a way out, huh? Well, this is the program to help you get inclined and step forward into 2019. And on last Monday, we did a talk discussion on To Beat the Arch with an awesome panel of men and women of God, and what a time we've had. Many of you know about the news, huh? About this law in New York City. They are talking about it, and we're going to talk about it this morning. Should a woman be able to change her mind right at 9 months? Well, look, it's All the Way Live, and we are here from the studios in Raleigh, North Carolina, the NFI Radio Gospel Network. And joining me this morning, they're back again, it's Elder Kerry Harris, pastor of Word of Deliverance Ministries out of Raleigh, North Carolina. Also joining us this morning from Youngville, North Carolina, Reverend Dantes Lee. And from Greensboro, North Carolina, Mr. Michael Booker. And from Fort Washington, Maryland, he's the author of an awesome book, and it's titled The Biblical Insight of Coping with Chaos, Reverend Robert E. Ellison. It's All the Way Live. We want to welcome you right here. You can call in at 347-215-8049, and we are ready to come forward with this discussion on this morning. I want you to tell a neighbor and tell a friend to lock in right here on our website at nfiradio.com. That's nfiradio.com on our website, or you can join us on Facebook by going to NFI Radio Gospel Network. Again, on Facebook, you can join us live at NFI Radio Gospel Network. We'll be right back with these awesome men and women of God right after this important message. It's To Beat the Arch, and we are live right after this.
New Directions Unlimited offers customized travel services and specializes in river cruises to destinations around the world. Find us online at newdirectionsunlimited.com or call 919-570-0232 to speak with a New Directions Unlimited travel concierge. Begin your journey to the experience of a lifetime and make lasting memories. New Directions Unlimited. See the world. Discover self. Travel.
All right. Welcome back to Beat the Arch. We are live here from the studio in Raleigh, North Carolina, on a beautiful Monday here in Raleigh. And those of you, if you're here in Raleigh, it's on the outside raining, huh? But look, there's nothing wrong with that. As long as you carry the proper gear, you're going to stay dry, huh? Just not unless you want to get wet. Look, my pleasure. Welcome back to the NFI Radio Gospel Network, and it's To Beat the Arch. And those of you, we welcome you far and near all around the world, right here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And those of you on our Facebook page, we welcome you right here. You can join us simply by dialing 347-215-8049. That number again, 347-215-8049. And you can respond, make your response or your comment. simply by dialing that number. All right, well, we are back with an awesome panel, and look, on last Monday, those of you requested it, and we had to bring them back. And with the discussion that many of you around the world have been talking about, and some of you haven't really said that much about it, but very important that we discuss this situation. And those of you, we would love to hear your comment and express your concern on today's topic. Should a woman be allowed to not have the child, to basically take the child life at 9 months? At 9 months. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning with part two of it. And once again, we want to thank you and welcome you to Beat the Odds. Good morning, everybody. How's you doing this morning?
Good morning.
It's a beautiful day to be in the land of the living. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
It is.
Amen. Amen. Look, I want to thank all of you again so much. We're going to go forward because we got a lot of ground to cover this morning. And on last Monday, the response was so overwhelming that we had to come back this morning. And many listen, but they may not have spoken, but the number shows, and we thank you for coming back.
Amen.
You're very much welcome.
Amen.
All right. Well, I've already given all of your names. Once again, if you would like to make a call in to respond, 347-215-8049 is the number. Okay, before we get started, Reverend Ellison, if you would love to lead us in a word of prayer this morning, we certainly would appreciate it.
Absolutely, I'd be delighted. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning once again in praise and thanksgiving for this day that you have made, and surely we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We praise you for who you are, for you are Almighty God. You are the King of Glory, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Lord, you are from everlasting to everlasting, from generation to generation. You are God and God alone.
Yes,
Father, we
yes.
ask you today that you would place the words upon our mouths, Lord God, that we may speak the truth in love. And we pray, Lord God, that as you lead us by your Spirit, that as your word goes out, will not return to you void, but will accomplish the thing that you have sent it to do. These things we ask. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
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 Amen. All right. Well, look, we're going to go ahead and get started. And for those that don't know some of the information that we've already discussed on Monday, I'm gonna give you a little bit of insight on what has happened since we talked. And here is it.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo signed a new bill that will strengthen abortion rights. The governor tweeted the Reproductive Health Care Act will protect Roe v. Wade regardless of what the federal government does. He called it a victory for all New Yorkers. The state also passed a bill this week banning conversion therapy for LGBTQ minors.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
Yes.
Also
passed
a bill for LGBT minors. It just seems like it doesn't want to stop from one thing to the next. And we are definitely trying to express our concern and give others that don't know how important this is, because from the polls, and I'm gonna just share this information. I think it would be very important for those that here listening this morning. 81% think that it should be illegal for a mother to do that to a child at 9 months. 81%. 13% says that, it's okay. it's okay to do it. And 4% are not sure. 81% overwhelming feel as though it should be illegal. So that's where we are today. And we're going to talk a little bit more on that, what we talked on last week. And I want to, I know many of you are listening in, and I want you to hear what CBS said. In 2012 to 2014, 29% of babies was aborted in New York. They were, the mothers were pregnant and they were aborted in New York. 29%. That's what the CBS poll showed. Now, here is the one that's going to really get you. In 2009, in New York City, 57% of black mothers were pregnant and they did that to the baby. 57% aborted their babies in New York City in 2009. That's a wake-up call.
Yes, it is. It's genocide. It's genocide.
Absolutely.
We're destroying our own selves. Yeah, we are. First of all, I want to just give honor to God and thank you, Reverend Kearney, for putting together this platform and these fine men and women of God that have stepped forward to stand with you and to stand in the community as voices. Many times in the black community, there are voices that have been shut out because the only voice that they show on the news media is like a Wim Barber or Jesse Jackson or some progressive liberal, as if we as a race of people, those are the only voices that can speak for us. Mm-hmm. But I just want to say this. I just want to read this scripture, just a little tidbit of it. If you have your Bibles, it comes from Daniel 7:25. Daniel 7:25, it just says, he shall speak, he's talking about this beast, this man of sin, the Antichrist, the spirit of the beast. It says, and he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. Okay, and I'm going to stop right there because it's a semicolon. But what we are facing today, brethren and sisters, we're facing the implementation of a new world order that has already been spoken of by the prophet Daniel. Now, Daniel is a prophet of the Bible that many of the progressive liberals, when you have people that come out of Duke Divinity School and these other very liberal, some of these divinity schools are very liberal, they interpret the scripture within the sight of eisegesis. In other words, they give their own private interpretation, so that's why they can make the word of God of non-effect. They can make the word of God say what they wanted to say. And yeah. So when they go out and project these great words like Daniel talked to us about here, spoke to us about, they are words that are filled with lies. And the public and the media, they cannot recognize because they haven't had their spirits to be able to discern between the good, between the truth and a lie. And so when they come out with these great words, then people are so quick to believe them, they don't investigate what's being said. And so we're being brainwashed And I believe that this panel here is making some breakthroughs because people now are listening to what other people have to say.
Amen.
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 I want to welcome those of you. He is with us, and he's joining us this morning all the way out of Dallas, Texas. He was my pastor here before he moved, and he's apostle now. And I'm so honored to have him to join us this morning from Dallas, Texas, Apostle Hurst. God bless you, Apostle.
Praise the Lord. Well, I'm in Houston, man, not Dallas.
Okay.
Glad to be on the talk show this morning. That was a wonderful elaboration that the man of God just spoke. It's definitely the truth, and it's right on point, man. And I'm glad to be a part of the show this morning. Well, and I'm listening. God bless you all. And it is a divine move that God has placed in the heart of Pastor Kearney here. And I just want to thank God for being here. Thank you all so much. God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank
Praise
you.
The Lord.
God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you. Okay, here we go. Let's move forward here. I want you to hear this. And now this is from Mr. Gary Francis is going to speak, and he's going to speak about how sad it is and is sick.
What comes to your mind when you hear the word sick? How about evil? Most people would probably imagine something as outlandish as torturing puppies, dolphins, or babies. So imagine the surprise and outrage that resulted from a new law that passed in New York that basically decriminalizes abortion up to the moment of birth, and no longer makes it necessary that a doctor be the one performing it. With veteran OBGYN Omar Hamada, well, is disgusted by this new law and went as far as to say that Democrats who celebrated it are sick.
Hey, Katie. Basically, in the third trimester of pregnancy, there is not a single condition that requires an abortion. There's not a single condition that requires that we kill the baby before delivery. There are several things in third trimester pregnancy that require that we deliver the mother, and that is a fact, but there's not a single thing that actually requires us to kill the child.
So this New York abortion law, which allows abortion up to the day before birth, essentially then is a recreational abortion bill.
Well, it does three things. It actually removes all the protections for the fetus by removing any homicidal protections. So before, the New York Penal Code basically stated that after 24 weeks, if a baby was killed, there was a risk of the perpetrator being charged with a homicide. That's been removed. It allows for any healthcare practitioner that's licensed or authorized, as the legal terms in the bill state, to perform an abortion, so it doesn't have to be a physician. And it removes all restrictions at all for any type of abortion at any time for any reason.
So when you heard about this law and the cheering inside of the chamber, what did you think about that?
I thought it was a travesty. Literally, I mean, it tore me up because I'm thinking, you know, there are some reasons that we will end a pregnancy, like an ectopic pregnancy in the first trimester or other reasons in the second trimester, but there's absolutely no reason to end a pregnancy so that the child dies in the third trimester. There are genetic malformations and other anatomical things that happen where the child will end up succumbing. But there's no reason for us to do it. So it tore me up. It's unconscionable.
It's uncomfortable. Last week, hear this, in New York, and this is what they did in New York last week. They celebrated it by going to the World Trade Center and lighting the place up. You all heard about it, right? Lighting the place up pink.
Yeah.
Pink.
Yeah.
Pink. Sad, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Very sad.
Very, very. And they should have lit the place up red because that's the color of blood they're going to shed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said it last week, Reverend Kearney, and I'm going to say it again. It's blood sacrifice. That's what it is. They're sacrificing these children on the altar of abortion. You know, does this seem eerily familiar to anybody that knows the Bible? Because we saw this. Herod done something similar to this. Y'all remember when he was looking for Jesus?
That's right.
He said, "I want you to kill the firstborn."
That's right.
You know, over a certain day. See, this is not new.
That's the thing that the church is not understanding. That's the thing that this nation is not understanding. This is not new. This is an old agenda in a new age. Mm-hmm. It's just flourishing right now because of the mm-hmm. law. But, you know, when the king said it, it became law then. We've seen this again with Pharaoh.
That's right.
See, Pharaoh done the same thing. Mm-hmm. Killed. They wanted the male seed then. But
that's
this
right.
goes back to the garden. And if you notice, Margaret Sanger, the creator of Planned Parenthood, I saw a couple of videos because I wanted to get her ideology of where she was coming from. And I always try to take what's going on now because everything we're going against and everything that's happened is already in Scripture. It's already been spoken about. It's already been told. So I go
yes.
back to Scripture and I look, and I see all things usually go back to the garden. Most of Satan's tactics usually span from the garden. Because what Margaret Sanger did was she isolated women from the men. She isolated women from their husbands. She isolated women from their households. She isolated women from their moral values. She isolated women from the church. See, and that's what the enemy did. He isolated Eve. He got her while she wasn't with Adam. See what I'm saying? He began to speak to her by herself. Then he began to say, now did God say?
Mm-hmm.
He began to perpetrate the lie and cause her to doubt.
That's right.
What I see today is I see what Planned Parenthood, I see what Margaret Sanger done. She isolated women from the Word because the Word of God is our final authority. It is our authority. The Word of God is the authority for the believer. She isolated women from the order because the order of God is the head over Christ. Christ is the head over man. Man is the head of a woman. See, now some people may say, well, that's a feminist order. and to some women, it does sound feminist, I'm sure. But that's what Margaret Sanger did. She came in, she's a feminist. She came in with feminism and separatism. And she began to empower, quote unquote, empower the woman and began to say, no, wait a minute, no. Can't no man tell you what to do with your body. This is your body. And what I hear when she says that, when they say that, what I hear is, did God really say? See, sounds eerily familiar.
Yes, it does.
But the results are the same. And the results, what are the results? Sin. Death. See, those the same consequences that was in the garden are the same consequences that are existing today for these children. Sin and death for these babies. So this is not a new agenda. This is an old agenda. It's just being perpetrated by a new generation of people who think that they're empowering themselves, but they're not empowering. They're depowering. This is the new world order. And this is how things are going to look moving forward if the sleeping giant doesn't wake up and take the authority that he's been given in the earth to move against these actions that have been set. So that's all I have to say.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Well said.
Amen. Amen.
Listen at what Mr. Johnson says about it. Mr. Johnson, I think he had something that he wanted to say about it.
I want to just remind you that our battle is a spiritual battle. It's a warfare between good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
And men are the Christ on the earth, and Christ is over men, and men over women. And when men become weak, or they're not over the woman and the children, or they're just not over the country, their community, their town, and that these women take over, things go out of control, evil tends to become more to the forefront. And I want you to notice that. When I was growing up down in Alabama on that plantation, we didn't have abortion. Abortion wasn't even heard of. And the primary reason for that is because men and women were decent people, but because the women knew that the men would never allow them to kill their children in the womb. Women at that time, at least black women, at that time, they were proud to have children. My grandmother had something like seven children, I think, 7 or 8 kids. My parents had 9 kids. And my aunt, I have an aunt who had 14 or 15 kids. They were all married, and they didn't mind having children. And the reason they didn't mind, because they had men, overseers, they had spiritual protectors, and they had providers. They had people to, men that would cause women to feel secure because the man is there. And he's not a beta male, he's a man. And so they felt secure. And men felt secure because they had Christ at their head, not a woman, not a government, not a so-called leader, not even a preacher was the head of men. God was the head of men. And so the order worked. And as soon as the so-called civil rights movement started, which was the enemy and destruction of black people, the beginning of it, and then Lyndon B. Johnson, they approved of Lyndon B. Johnson giving black people free stuff so that the blacks would become Democrats. Because at first, blacks were Republicans when I was growing up. But when the men left the home or became subject to the women and to the government, it all changed. It's just been downhill ever since because that spiritual order was broken. And now women, black women, in control but out of control, in control of the black men, the black children, the black community and everything. And so everything is going out of control. 77% of Planned Parenthood abortion mills are inner cities. They're making buku money off killing black babies inside the womb. No one cares. Black men are afraid to tell the woman no, because she's going to curse him out, give him the look. And white people are afraid to tell black women no. And so black women, and God is not with them, with the black women. And so black women feel like they are it, because no one can say no to them. And as a result, they are killing unborn black children like 90 going north because they have no order. The man is not there to stop them. God is not with them to stop them. The white people won't stop them. When black people do wrong now, white people just say, oh, it's black. No problem, it's black. Black women, you want abortion? Okay, we'll get it for you. And now black women are getting a false sense of empowerment. It's not real power. It's false. It will not last anyway. And it's very destructive. They're taking over the churches. They're taking over the community and all hell. And they're taking over politics. And all hell is breaking loose.
All right, brother. Look, all right, think of what he just said. We'll be right back.
Very well said.
You're in the mix in HD2 sound with tight acoustic bass. It's the NFI giving God the praise.
We'll be right back with more right after this important message. You're listening to the NFI Radio Gospel Network.
Catch the wave on the NFI, coming to you live from Raleigh, North Carolina, in the studio of the NFI Gospel Network.
Gospel music at its best. Catch the wave on the NFI.
All right, we're back right here live. And those of you, if you want to call in and express your opinion and comment, certainly feel free to give us a call here at 347-215-8049 with these awesome men and women of God. Okay, let's get back to the discussion about the situation that's happening in Virginia as well as in New York. Should a woman be allowed at 9 months to abort the child?
Oh, I'm not
Okay, this is Elder Harris. May I speak?
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. First off, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
To God be the glory for all he has done. Okay. Now, I think I will be somewhat controversial today.
Go ahead.
Okay. First off, mothers don't kill their babies because a mother will give her total life for her baby. Mm-hmm. You're talking about female murdering their babies. And you can pin a tail on a donkey and call him a Palomino pony, but he's still a jackass. I said this. We are calling these women that's killing their babies mothers, and they are not mothers. They are female.
Amen.
They are female. We are talking about, is it okay to kill a baby in the third trimester? It's not all right to kill a baby from day one. Because
Amen.
When a baby is conceived, that's a human being. From that day, the Bible bears that out.
That's right.
When Jeremiah was a little boy and God was talking to him, and he told him when he first knew him, that was before he was in his mother's womb. And while he was in his mother's womb, he consecrated him or set him apart. So when a person kills a baby, they don't know who that person is that they killed. It could have been a Barack Obama.
That's
it
right.
It could have been a George Washington. It could have been the Jesus Christ. Well, they didn't try to kill Jesus before he was born, but they wanted to make sure right after he was born, wanted to make sure that he was murdered. See, that's the whole thing. We say the Bible said thou shalt not kill, but that's not what it said. In the original text, it said thou shalt not murder.
That's
when
right.
You set out with the intent of taking the life of somebody, that's murder. And somebody told me, well, what's the difference? Dead is dead. That's right. But when you do something that's an accident and it takes somebody's life, that's killing. But when you set out to deliberately take the life of somebody, that's murder.
Yes, amen.
Okay. Now, we need to understand that a lot of times in the black community, as Democrats, we say, we're going to put this person in office because they're going to give us this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't care what we think they can give us, but God said he was our protector.
Mm-hmm.
And what he has for us, all the devils in hell can't take away.
That's right.
You see? So we don't have to murder our babies. If you don't want them, give them to somebody that do. Go ahead and have the baby. However the baby was conceived, whether it was by rape or whether it's because you're married and think you can't afford anymore or whatever reason, go ahead and have the baby and give it to somebody that wants the baby. I adopted three children.
Wow.
And I have been blessed. People tell me how blessed the children are. No, I'm blessed. Because if I hadn't adopted those children in my senior year, and I tell you right now, I'm 72 years old.
Wow.
I'm blessed because those same children have stepped up to the plate. And when I'm in need, I can call even one of them and say, I need X amount of dollars. And they'll come to my rescue. When I had surgery twice, a month apart, major surgery, one of those children took off and worked and came and stayed with me until I could get back on my feet.
Mm.
So if those women had killed those babies, I would have been out of real big bad. But we need to stop looking at what somebody can give us. And understand this, when you find out what a person believes before you vote for them.
That's right.
Don't go by party. Don't do it. Go by what they say. Because if somebody says, yeah, I believe in abortion, and you put them in office and they vote for that, then God is going to hold us responsible for every baby they have killed.
That's right.
Amen. We need to stop worrying about. See, I have a right to do anything with my body I want to. I'm going to have to pay for that, though, because the word said our bodies is the temple of Christ. And if our bodies is the temple of Christ and we abuse it, then we're going to have to answer to God for that. But what I don't have a right to do is murder another person. It doesn't matter if it's in my body, because you see what the law says is a baby is not a baby as long as it's in the womb. But at the same time, if somebody murder a pregnant woman, then they will charge them, too, for a second murder. So how is it possible that if the baby is not a baby, how are you going to charge them with murdering the baby that was in the womb? See, we're talking on both sides of our neck. It's not even getting up to come out of our mouth. It's coming out of our neck. And we need to stop it. If you and Christians, 90% of the Christians vote Democratic every time. And every time they do, they're voting for somebody that believes in murder. But we're going to have to answer for it.
Yes, we are.
We're going to have to answer for that. Some don't even tell anybody, that many people, what I believe unless it's one-on-one. Because then they want to argue, and I'm not going to argue about it, because I know that and everybody that died, I noticed on Facebook, everybody that died, well, they went home to be with the Lord. No, they didn't. Because, see, the word says hell is enlarging itself. So everybody that died didn't go to heaven. Somebody went to hell. That's why it's enlarging itself. And I don't want to enlarge itself to make room for me. I want to be with Jesus, like he said in John 14. I want to have one of the mansions that he's preparing for me.
Amen.
And I say, mothers don't murder their babies. Females do.
Amen.
So we need
Amen.
To understand that. Once we understand that, we'll be fine. That's all I have to say right at this minute.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Listen to what the doctors say.
The Virginia delegate who proposed a late-term abortion bill that sparked a national controversy clarified her remarks today.
I was really just simply caught off guard by the tenor of the questions during the hearing. I wish I was quicker on my feet and more agile, and I regrettably misspoke. Simply put, infanticide is illegal, and House Bill 2491 does not change this.
Join me now by Skype from Miami is Dr. Grazie Christie, policy advisor for the Catholic Association. Welcome back, Dr. Christie. What do you make of Delegate Trant's response today?
Well, she's trying to walk back what was her perfect frankness the first time she was asked about this. And what she's trying to parse through, and not doing a very good job, I think, is what is the definition of infanticide? She's trying to tell us that infanticide means that a child is a born child is directly killed. But what she said on the floor of the House or Senate the other day in Virginia was that if a woman was in full labor, could that child be killed right before he emerged from the birth canal through probably an injection into the heart, which is how doctors perform late-term abortions. And her answer was yes. And bills like this in Virginia and in other states would allow a baby just on the verge of being born to be killed.
So I'm hoping you can clarify a little bit more, because you're a medical doctor and you were touching on this, but walk us through what happens to a baby who is aborted up to the moment of birth, as the New York law allows.
Well, the way of babies are normally aborted in the late, in the third trimester, especially in the late third trimester, is that an injection is done through the woman's uterus and into the baby's heart, and the baby's heart is stopped. Once the baby has ceased living, then the woman's labor is induced, and the baby is delivered either whole or in part, depending on the technique that they want to use. So what we're talking about here, that she said before that was allowed, is that a baby just on the verge of being born, the mother's in full labor, all that's missing is 3 minutes to traverse the birth canal, that baby can have his heart stopped before he's born. That's called a third trimester abortion.
Wow, it's amazing. What would be the medical risk to the woman having a late-term abortion, particularly if it's performed by someone other than a doctor, as is also allowed in the New York law?
Well, that's, to me as a physician, that's besides all the nastiness of all these laws that make practically infanticide legal, is the fact that people who aren't medically trained properly are allowed to do late-term abortions, which are basically a birth, like an induced birth, which is a very complicated procedure.
It's incredible to think of the danger to both the baby and the mother in all of this. Do these laws allow late-term abortions to ignore some of the medical regulations around abortion itself across the country?
Well, in general, abortions are less regulated than other procedures on a state-to-state basis. Every state's a little different. But the abortion lobby is very careful to keep the regulatory health part of the state away from abortion clinics. So, for instance, in my place of work, where I work, we're very heavily regulated, and we have so many rules we have to follow. Abortion clinics aren't held to the same standards, and this is a political, ideological issue. If these laws pass, as they have in New York State and in other places, this will be even more more dangerous for women because they will have even fewer standards that won't be enforced.
All right. Okay. Anyone want to make a comment?
Well, Reverend Kearney, listen, I'd like to approach this from a theological perspective here, if I may.
Yes, sir.
The subject, of course, of dealing with partial birth abortion or infanticide is what it's called. And keeping in mind, I know that we're speaking to an audience that some may believe the word of God. There may be some that quite don't know what to believe. So I would like to speak to those who don't believe. We on the panel, we speak in terms of what we know, the truth that we know concerning the Word of God. But let me try to give a case for believing the Bible. The Bible itself is inspired of God. We know this by 2 Timothy. It says all scriptures given by the inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness. Okay. The case for the Bible itself and believing what it says in it, the Bible was written over a course of 1,600 years using 40 different authors, all having the same center point, who is Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Over that 1,600-year period, these men being inspired by God, the Holy Spirit himself having given them the unction to write, and how all of the wording in the Bible itself, it validates itself. Archaeology validates the truth of the Bible. Archaeological objects that are excavated from the earth and give validation to the stories that are told in the Bible. Science validates the Bible.
Amen.
Anthropological evidence is there. The creation of man. And God spoke it from the beginning in the book of Genesis. He said, let us make man in our likeness and in our image. Notice the plurality in that. He didn't say, let me make man in my image. He said, let us make man in our likeness and in our image. Talking about the three members of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God has made a case for his word. His word validates itself. And when we choose not to follow it, there are consequences that we face, very real consequences that we are subject to right now, even as we speak. And the very subject, the topic that we're talking on, of course, relates to spiritual warfare. That's all spoken about in the Bible. I think we talked about this in our last program. I am so pleased to be on this panel with these wonderful people of God, and the subject, the topic that was chosen to speak on. And for those listeners who do not know the Word of God, God says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Mm-hmm. And it's the knowledge of God. Because we have chosen not to adhere to the knowledge of God or not to listen to what God has to say, man has done what is right in his own eyes. He's gone his own way. And he's leaning to his own understanding, not acknowledging God. All of these things are very clear in Scripture. So with that being said, I'm just going to turn it over to another panel member, and I just wanted to make that known. We're suffering from a lack of knowledge. The black community, the white community, all races of people are suffering from a lack of knowledge.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Mr. Booker?
You know, very, very, very eloquently put, and I couldn't agree more. And we also have to be aware of something else. I touched on it last week, but there's something else that's taking place. Now, abortion is just the beginning. We have to understand that this is an agenda. That means that it has a conclusion, but it hadn't reached its conclusion yet. But, you know, we're getting there. But the thing is, we have to take in mind that we're talking about the unwanted in our society. We're talking about what the women don't want. You know, these women may not want these babies. I don't want this baby. But this is just the beginning, because what's next? You know, what's next? What's next that someone may not want that we get rid of? Because this sets the precedent. I'm seeing the conscience of some of the nation being seared.
That's right.
The Bible says with a hot iron.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing the elevation of animal life being equal to human life.
That's right.
Go out and kill a bald eagle. Go out and kill a white owl. Go out and kill certain endangered species and see where you find yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find yourself with a felony and a fine,
mm-hmm,
in jail.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But when you kill a human life that God said I've created in my own image, well, you get to walk away with that because there's a law that says it's okay. And that's just not good enough. And this is a battle for humanity.
Yes, it is.
This is about our humanity. This is about us as human beings placing the highest value on each other. No matter whether it's anything God created is alive, that's simple. Everything he created, because he's the father of life, he's the God of life, he's the giver of life, so everything he's created is alive. I don't care whether, the babies come from the seed of the man. That's implanted to the woman. It's alive. Everything in our body is alive. But this is the fight for humanity on the highest level. And I'm afraid to say that the ones who are here that God put in the earth to continue to enforce that humanity, to continue to enlighten everyone on our humanity. I mean, like the pastor said, for those ones that may not understand all these biblical terms that we're using, for somebody that may not understand Scripture, for someone that may be listening that may not know God or may not reference the Bible. Surely they can come in agreement with humanity that we all have a right to life and all should be able to be allowed to be given life. Like Pastor said, you know, if you don't want the child, go through the birth, have the child and give the child away. If that's what they feel like they need to do, but don't kill the child. But continue to keep your eyes and ears open because there is an elevation that's happening. Men's conscious of being seared because they have taught evolution in the schools, and evolution says we come from animals. So with that mindset, that means that we're really no better off than animals because that's where we come from. That's supposedly our beginning. So it makes it easier now because these generations that we're dealing with, the Generation X, you know, and the Y2K kids and the millennials, they're taught evolution. They're taught that we come from animals. So we're not as valuable, even though we're created at the highest level of thought and the highest level of love. They bought into the lie, and it's reduced us down to our animal status. So we have to be very careful, and we have to educate our children in the church and at home on just how valuable life is.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Look, you know, since you mentioned the church, I have some young people that's listening as well. And Sister Linga is the editor for Liberty Conway. And she had something she wanted to say about the church. What's going on with the church? Why the church is not speaking up about it? And she is aware that the black churches are not speaking up.
I'll tell you this. Last summer, 2018, I was working on a congressional campaign, a U.S. congressional campaign. And I wasn't able to go to this meeting, but the candidate I was working for went to this, like, Baptist Association kind of like organization. He was the only white man there, which he noticed, but it didn't necessarily make him feel uncomfortable. But the association was pretty much a bunch of preachers of black churches. And they had his opponent there who was a Democrat, who's a black man. And what they were pretty much telling the preachers were, this is what you go back and tell your congregation. So a lot of preachers, I don't want to say all, I think a lot of preachers are literally getting their sermons from Democrats. And that sounds outlandish, but my friend, he happens to be my friend now, but at the time he was just a candidate, he saw it with his own eyes. And so I think they're getting their talking points from Democrats, or at least their sermons, so they can't necessarily tell the pastors now, oh, speak against this because it's Democrats who are creating these awful bills. So I think that's at least part of the issue. Another thing too is I was talking to some coworkers who are white, two white folks, and they said, you know, they were talking about black and African Americans and how, you know, black people are really upset because they're not represented in a lot of different industries. Why are there not as many black or TV shows with a black main character? And I said, well, it doesn't help that we keep murdering our babies. I was like, oh, yeah. Like, nobody wants to talk about that. They want to talk about all the other things, but they don't want to talk about some of these root issues of why we don't have as many doctors or actors, which I think that's probably the least of our worries in this society. But they want all of these, they want us to be represented in all of these different areas, but we keep killing the ones that could represent us. And so they don't want to talk about those things because it's almost like, to me, keeping the family, the family issues, like we want to hide those because we can't let people know that our family has deep problems. Instead of talking about it, we let people know. That may be another reason. It's beyond me. I don't think that way, but I'm just brainstorming.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That's young lady making a comment. And so there are young people that are aware of what's taking place, and there are some that's speaking out. And she made a good point. Do you think she made a good point?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen, yes.
Absolutely.
So what are the black churches? Are they speaking about this situation?
Well, you know, Brother Kearney, you know the answer to that. I think we all know the answer to that. Let me say this. What she said is very true. And I think someone had mentioned this one time before. The agenda of what Satan is presenting to the nation right now, not just to the black community, but it is a agenda that involves, notice every time we start talking about abortion, something that is really, really serious, they will come back with, and I'm talking about they, the mainstream media, they will come back like a story about this governor down in Virginia and all of the mess that's going on down there. They always make it something about race. And what they're doing, the strategy is to get you off of the really the main stuff that needs to be talked about, and that's just this third trimester late term abortion and just abortion in general. They don't want to talk about that. You know, just like the other day, you know, I know that this station, this what Brother Kern is doing and what we're saying is having an impact on the nation, because this station is going nationwide. And so they will have something like a Wim Barber situation. And if you notice, every time the news media presents something concerning Christianity, they always use Wim Barber. They always use Wim Barber as if he's the only one. He's the only pastor, he's the only black leader, and we're supposed to follow him. This is the agenda of the progressive liberal movement. And let me say this, it's going to be controversial, but I think I have some people that can back me up with this. One of the goals of the Margaret Sanger Planned Parenthood, one of the major goals in order to get abortion in the church, especially the black churches, the black leaders, is to, first of all, was to influence black pastors. Yes. And the way they started doing this was that I think Dr. King was given the Margaret Sanger Award. And so, you know, I guess this award was looked at as something prestigious. It was made to look like it was something prestigious, but I don't really think that Dr. King, if he had have known what Planned Parenthood has done to our people, I don't really think that he would accept that award. And so they're doing the same thing. Like somebody said, I think Brother Booker said that the devil is doing, it's the same devices, you know, like he did in the book of Genesis. He is taking his influence and trying to influence influential people and to use them like puppets. And so when you see a Wim Barber, when you see a Oprah Winfrey, when you see a LeBron James, when you see these celebrities, what they have figured out is that black people, we're so gullible, we'll follow a person that's famous before we follow God. And that's a sad indictment.
Yes. Mm. Amen.
That is powerful. That's a powerful statement. And Sister Linger, the young editor, she had something else to say
about
the black church.
And it's interesting, too, because black people are really conservative. When you really ask people what they really think about things, and we're still pretty church compared to white Americans. And so it's really in all of those things that you just talked about. It's really interesting that we're probably the most church race in America. We still believe in going to church and God and stuff like that, but we're still having like a lot of out of wedlock births, a lot of abortion, a lot of black and black crime. And we can discuss why that is, but it's
it's kind of an like it's kind of weird how that works, and I think it goes back to what you talked about in the beginning is what people are preaching, and I don't necessarily think that preaching alone will change people's hearts and minds, but there's something that's not going on in the church. With Black people are really church. There's something that's not happening in the church that is getting into the culture of African Americans, which I think that's a whole other issue in and of itself. Because I have a friend that I go to church with even that completely disagree with my politics. They hate that I'm conservative. And some of my friends have told me that I want to be white or I hate Black people. And all this kind of crazy stuff. And I'm like, but wait a second. We go to the same church, listen to the same messages, and my pastor preaches very much against abortion. And even socialism, he said things. So I'm like, this is weird. How are we not getting the same values and principles? We go to the same church, and we're reading the same Bible. And really what I think it is that they've bought the idea that somehow we are oppressed. And for me, when I realized I was conservative, I'll say, it was a very liberating year. I think that was either 2015 or 2016. And I was like, wait a second. I live in a country where it doesn't matter my gender or my race, my sexuality, none of that matters. I can be anything I want to be and be as successful as I want to be. And I'm blessed for it. And then when you look at history and you see that this is really weird. America is in and of itself like the greatest nation in the world. And I'm like, wait a minute. I've been blessed by God to live in this nation, and I'm going to take full advantage of it. And everyone wants to take advantage of what we have, but they also want to believe that somehow they're oppressed. And so then we can't talk about certain Black issues because, oh, well, you vote Republican, so I don't even want to hear what you have to say. And they really go by those partisan lines instead of really looking at facts, looking at history, and tying that into the context of where we are now, which is really sad. I think that's a huge problem in African-American culture.
Amen. Amen. That's similar to what Elder Hurst spoke on. So there you have a young lady that's even speaking out. And that's powerful. And as we talk about the church, and many of you may not know, the governor in Virginia is Catholic. Did all of you know that?
I was not aware of that.
I was not
okay.
aware.
No, I wasn't aware.
Okay. Well, here's what the bishop had to say about it.
Many Catholics were outraged by the bill, which granted more access to and late-term abortions. Bishop of Albany, the most Reverend Edward Scharfenberger, joins us now. Reverend, so first of all, let's get your reaction to this new bill.
Well, as you just said very well, it was a celebration of abortion, which to me is a celebration of death. It's a dehumanization of a whole class of human beings in our society, the child in the womb, who clearly is a human subject from the moment of conception. All the science proves that. So even though it has been advertised as a bill that brings more equality to women, it excludes a certain class of women, the unborn. Half of all abortions are females. So I do not see it something that I would celebrate. As a matter of fact, it extends, actually it takes away protections that previously we had. Mm-hmm. And in no way is it, as many of its proponents say, a tracking Roe versus Wade. It goes way beyond Roe versus Wade in so many ways.
Bishop,
so certainly I don't see it something to celebrate.
Bishop, the governor has talked about his faith. He talked about the faith during the State of the State. We want to hear what he had to say about that and then get your reaction on the other side.
Yeah.
I happen to be Roman Catholic. I'm a former altar boy, and my relationship with the church is important to me. And I've found the differences painful over the years.
How does that square? How does this Catholic faith square with this new pro-abortion bill that he celebrated in the name of women's equality this week?
Well, as his words are in themselves, many, many Catholics have differences with the Church on a number of issues. But this is a very radical separation from the Catholic communion in the way that he presents this, not only as something which is a matter of law, but also as something which actually distances him from one of the basic moral teachings of our Church, mm-hmm. and that is the sanctity of all human life. And of course, Pope Francis has been very, very outspoken, even before he was Pope back in his native country, mm-hmm. about the sanctity of all human life. So although the governor understandably would like to ally himself with Pope Francis, in this regard, he is light years away.
Bishop, walk me through the mindset, though, because it's one thing to be a reluctant advocate for women to make a choice early on in their pregnancy and say, I think there's a right for abortion. It's another thing to celebrate bringing on late-term abortions. They're the same thing, but they're light years apart. What is the mindset that celebrates versus reluctantly argues for it?
I wish I could understand that. Personally, I can't get into the mind of heart. It may be some form of denial. It may be something else. And I don't know what is actually in that mindset that does not see. I mean, the kind of procedures that now are possible in New York State, we wouldn't even do to a dog or a cat in a similar situation. It's torture. And as you probably are aware, Dr. Bernard Nathanson, who formerly was described himself as an abortionist and performed many, many abortions, was not a man of the Catholic faith, but came to recognize the humanity of the unborn that he was aborting. And of course, he famously produced a documentary called The Scream, in which he detailed the incredible pain that a human being feels in the womb, even at early stages.
Bishop, there's been a number of people who are screaming for Governor Cuomo to be excommunicated from the Catholic Church. What are your thoughts on that?
I can certainly understand the outrage and the anger, and I and many bishops have been asked to consider that sanction. As you know, Governor Cuomo is not a resident of my diocese, so I would not have what we call jurisdiction. I'm not his county executive, so to speak, but that's a technical question. Excommunication is a last resort, and as the governor continues to distance himself from our communion, it may unfortunately result in that. My hope is that since his faith is important to him, he will reconsider the importance of maintaining that communion and not continue to distance himself. There are different forms of what we might generally say excommunication. One can put themselves in a position whereby morally they cannot receive communion at the altar rail, and I believe the governor is in that situation right now.
Well, what do you think? He's in that situation right now that he would not be allowed to accept communion.
Okay, I'll jump in. This is how I look at it. Now, and I'm at an age that I can see across several decades. And I don't know who else is on here near my age. But but this is what I see. And it does have to do with age, believe it or not. I was 12 years old before I ever heard the word abortion. As a child, abortion was not allowed. It was definitely not allowed. If you got an abortion, it was somebody in a back room doing something, and a lot of time the women wound up dying from this procedure. Then, and they're looking at the governor in Virginia. We don't want to forgive him, but you got to understand that during the time that he came along, that's what everybody was doing. And then, and I know I'm not the same person that I was back then, because back then I did what sinners did. I sinned, and I was good at it. I know y'all think I can't see it, but I was good at it. Okay. That being said, the man said, I'm sorry. I look back on it. It's despicable. I need you to forgive me. But these same people that's willing to go and be and have babies aborted don't want to forgive this man for something that he said, I'm sorry for. I didn't realize it at the time because that's what everybody was doing. All the white folks, not all of them, 90% of them, 80% somewhere along in there, they were all doing that. They had these little black boys standing up in their yard, these, what you call them? These little boys with the red cap on, they had that on there. And then as we get older, we see that, okay, maybe what our parents taught us was not right. And we go back and we look at what God's word said and say, okay, this was wrong. I'm sorry. We won't forgive him. But then here's this other man standing over here that has never been acceptable to rape women. But we don't know where to stand on that. Let me tell you where to stand at, on God's word. That's where we stand. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what your denomination is. Stand on God's word. And if you stand on God's word, you're going to come out right. But this abortion issue, like I said, when I was a child, it was not part of the language. You didn't. That's not something you did. When it come on... Is these men painting their face black and having fun at our expenses? That was the norm back then. And he didn't know. The man didn't know. That's what they did. So when you find out better, do better. That's what he did, better. But this man, that he acknowledged he's wrong. But then here's this other man over here that raped the women and said, oh, no, they wrong. Uh-uh, they said I could do it. And then who knows how many babies he have gotten that he had them abort because he said, well, I didn't think you were going to say nothing about it. I thought that you were going to keep quiet. That's why I did it. But we got to start standing on God's word. I don't care who it is, and I don't care what color it is, what denomination, nationality, and anything else. We got to stand on God's word and save our babies. We got to save our babies. That's the word for me.
Amen. Amen. Let me say this, and it's relating to what you said. And I want I want those that are listening to hear this. I said it earlier at the last week. It's a deception when they brought up this situation concerning the blackface. Now, I saw this vision, and it was like, how if this man is asked for forgiveness, and he's not the same as he used to be, just like we all. We were doing some things we used to do, and then when we came to Christ, we changed. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. So here you're going to go back and pull this off this man from his past. Then you might as well to go to every doctor's office. You might as well to go to the courthouse. You might as well to go to some of the pastors and pull up some of their back past lineage. So it's a serious situation where I think that if you're going to go back like that, then that's just like going back to everybody. Everybody.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, Reverend Kearney, it sounds like you're priming the pump again, brother.
But I'm being serious.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You know, that's a little joke between the two of us that we spoke earlier.
Yes, sir. But if you take it seriously, when we go to the doctor, who is our physician? What did he used to do? What he used to be? I grew up in a small community. And believe it or not, when they integrated the school, we had to go to the other school. In my backyard, they used to burn crosses in my backyard. I could look across the street. Hear me. I lived in town where I grew up in town. And they were burning crosses across the street where I grew up. I remember when they did it. And those that were a part of it live right on the other side of the street from where I live. Now, we talk. We talk. They have changed their ways. I'm not upset with them because I went to school with their son. I go to some of their businesses because that's the only business that were there. So what I'm saying is, if you're going to do it to this man, and he's asked for forgiveness, because if we are Christians in Christ, Christ has forgiven us, why can't we forgive someone else?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. But you know, the blackface for me, Reverend Kearney, is not the issue for me.
Yeah.
The issue for me is the statements that he made about abortion.
Mm-hmm.
That's my issue. I think, you know, we're making too much of this blackface stuff. Like you said, it's a distraction to cover the bigger
issue. That's right.
You know, blackface is blackface. That was then, you know, okay, hey, the man said it. Okay, I don't do that no more. I ain't like that no more. But that's not my issue. My issue is what you said, you know, concerning killing children and him being a physician, no good and well. How important the sanctity of life is. See, these are distractions in the games that are played, because at any cost, they want to keep this abortion issue off the table. It's just too controversial.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, you can't make no money with it. Can't no money be made with it. That's the main thing. That's number one. You can always make money with racism. You can always get TV time with racism. You know, racism has been, you know, on the table for decades and decades and decades. You know, you can always get the TV camera to come out and interview somebody over racism. But when it comes to abortion, like I said, everything goes quiet. There are no lights. There are no cameras usually. Nobody from the media wants to be there or even make a comment. And if they do, they're doing all they can to smooth it over. They want to silence those screams. See, they want to silence those screaming babies. They want to silence those screaming women who going to these abortions, and they want to close everything out. They don't want us to have an input or voice because they need to cover up that blood sacrifice. See, the reason I call it blood sacrifice is because that's what you do to cover up your sin. See, I messed up. I got pregnant. I don't want nobody to know, so let me hide my sin by shedding blood, innocent blood. See, and that's what's so dangerous about this. This is innocent blood. See, these are the innocents in our society. These are the most innocent, purest people in our society. God hates the shedding of innocent blood. So we know that we're going to have to pay the price. America as a nation, we're going to get judged by this, whether we like it or not. It's going to happen, and it's happening now.
Yeah.
You know, we are the ones that are standing loud, and we're crying loud and sparing not, because as a nation, we know when the judgment of God comes, we're all going to have to be a part of it. You know, it rains on the just as well as the unjust. Now, I believe he's going to take care of his people. But we're still living in this nation, still living in this world. So let us not get too caught up in the forgiveness of this man for wearing blackface. But let's keep our eyes focused on the prize, which is those children. That innocent blood, those blood sacrifices, because the devil always demands a sacrifice to do anything. He always demands a sacrifice, you know. So I just wanted to make that clear, that we don't get caught up too much in trying to clear this man's name, because he's the one that messed his name up. He's the one that said what he said. So he's the one that's got to be responsible for his sin. And the consequences, you can't control the consequences. So what he need to do is, he done been exposed. He done been found out. I believe it was divine intervention that exposed this man and let America know who he was and what he was about. Not a blackface, but I believe God exposed him for who he was as a man that doesn't have any love for human life. So I'm going to just leave it right there, Reverend Kearney.
Amen. I'm glad you addressed that, because that's where I said what I said, because we individual, because of this that comes up, and I believe that that's why many in the black churches are not speaking up, because they are focused on the black face instead of focused on these babies that are being aborted. And that's the key.
Yeah.
You said it, Brother Book.
Yeah.
You said it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Well, you said it, and I thank you for that. I thank you for that. Reverend Lee.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I agree with everything that Dr. Booker has said, and all of the panel, Dr. Ellison, Dr. Harris, Elder Harris. I'm going to tell you something. This is awesome to me, to just to hear, to be in camaraderie with people that think on this level, because we are not supposed to be able to think on this level. We are supposed to not be able to have critical thinking. And God is exposing the plans of the enemy. This Green New Deal is another agenda of the progressive, liberal, democratic federal government push, because within the Green New Deal is the spirit of Antichrist and the spirit of atheism. Okay, this Alexandra Cortez, she's been used as a puppet to present another agenda of this new world order and the beast, really the beast system that's being set up right before our eyes. And there are people that are voting for it, black and white, and many Latino voters. Now some of the Latino voters now, what I'm understanding, they are beginning to question what's going on in California. There's been an uprising about this abortion issue. But the Green New Deal encompasses abortion, because the train of thought for the progressive liberal Green New Deal is that if there are too many human beings on the earth, we have got to kill them or murder them. This is the Green New Deal, because if it's too many people on the earth, the climate is changing because of human interactions. Too much humanity. When the Bible says in the book of Genesis, male and female, he said, let them go and multiply. But the Green New Deal says, look, we need to do away with multiplication. We need to murder babies. We need to do away with cars. We need to do away with airplanes. We need to do away with everything, because it's destroying the earth. Well, if they were so concerned about the earth, they need to go read the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation said when Jesus comes, he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth.
Come on,
so,
amen.
When you put your faith in what these politicians are saying, and these hypocrites, these liars, they're liars. They have a tongue. They have open sepulchres. I believe that's what the Word of God. They're lying from the very pit of their heart.
Mm.
And so as believers, we have a responsibility to stand and to occupy until Jesus comes. Look, we're not going to heaven yet. And see that's what's wrong with a lot of Christians. See, we want to talk about heaven, and it's okay. Look, you're going to teach on heaven, talk about heaven, but I'm going to tell you something. We're not going to heaven yet. We got to stand in this time, stand up for our grandchildren, for our children and grandchildren. Look, my grandbaby celebrated a three-year-old birthday. She, for the first time, 2 years old, 3 years old, 2 years old, she called me grandpa, granddaddy. That's beautiful to me.
Mm.
I got a cousin, my cousin in Georgia. She had one. I think she had one child. Now listen to this. That one child have just had, and married to the same woman. That one child that she had has had nine children. I think it's going on nine or even ten. and he's a millennial. He's a young man. He's been married to the same woman for all these many years, and they have 9 children, and it seems like they're happy. It looks like the children are happy. He's happy. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. You know, and when you look at it, when you talk about the numbers, like Brother Kearney was talking about the numbers, look, the statues, the Confederate statues are not killing people. You know, the black Sambos are not killing people. The number one killer of black folk and white folk in this hour is not cancer. It's not climate control. It's not climate change. That's not the number one killer. It's not heart attacks. It's not Donald Trump. It's not the police force. The number one killer of humanity right now, when you start talking about just the African-American community, when you multiply the 32 million, and if each child has about 3 or 4 or 5 children that was aborted, you're talking about over 500 million people that have been aborted through abortion. And that's just that's just among African-American culture. You're talking about over 500 million you're talking about mass murder and genocide.
We're gonna have to close this thing. I know, and believe it or not, I'm not gonna even say how long we've been talking. And I don't want to stop, but we are getting close to the top of the hour of 11 a.m. My God, I thank God for all of you, Reverend Ellison. And we're gonna have to close, but I want to ask you, and you did on last time, I want to ask you to lead us in a word of prayer on our closing.
Yes, dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this gathering today, and surely, Lord, you were in the midst of it all. We give thanks, Lord God, to you who are King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Father, you
would continue to inspire and to ignite a fire within this panel, O God, to carry your word forward. And to those, Lord God, who have been listening, may it move within, may their spirits be stirred in such a way, Lord God, that they will be drawn to you and the truth that you present to us all. For you have revealed yourself in your word. And Father, we thank you for that, a word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Father, until we gather again, Lord, we pray that you will continue to anoint us afresh day by day and continue to give us grace and peace and move in our spirits, Lord, with a spirit of love for our fellow man.
Yes,
Father,
Lord.
We pray the divine protection over each and every person, Lord God, within the hearing of this word that has been spoken today. And we give thanks, we give you honor, and we will continue to give you all of the glory. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Praise the Lord.